Hello, and welcome to the next episode of the Three Worlds podcast. It's been slightly longer than it should have been. I did intend to get one to you, but it's been a little complicated. We went to print with issue 60 of Sacred Hoop magazine a while ago, and just as we were about to go to print, our magazine printers went bankrupt. So we had to scrabble about and find a new company that would print the magazine, and they couldn't actually then do it when we needed to, so we had to go on holiday before it was finished. We had planned to go on holiday immediately that it was finished, but that didn't work out. So we went on holiday, and then we came back, and then we finished the magazine, and we sent it to the printers. And the day after it went to the printers, my wife, Jan Morganwood, developed blood clots in her lungs, which was kind of fun and interesting and gave us a whole new opportunity to experience hospitals. So she was rushed into hospital and she stayed there for 5 days. And she's fine now, by the way. Those of you who are familiar with Jan and her writings and her beautiful paintings, she's fine. She obviously was in danger, but they gave her all the medication that she needed and she was taken out of danger and put on this hospital ward, actually feeling fine. She didn't really feel ill, but the doctors were quite concerned about her. And so we had all of that rigmarole and lots of tests and all of the bits and pieces that go with hospital stays. And then she came out and she was kind of okay, but I was looking after her. And then I got flu, probably from some wonderful bug that I picked up in the hospital while visiting her. And I've actually been pretty ill with flu for about 2 weeks, and I spent about a week in bed, which is most unlike me. I don't get ill. I really, really don't get ill, touch wood. Anyway, so one thing has led to another, which 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 has led to this podcast being slightly later than I anticipated. But all's well. Everybody is getting there. I might cough in the middle of this podcast, but the beauty of recording a podcast is that I can take things out, so there will be no coughs, apart from this one. There. I will edit all the rest out. Anyway, I hope you're all doing good. Thank you all for your emails and various other comments and bits and pieces that have come winging their way to me through the ether. And this is a podcast that's going to continue talking about the medicine wheel. Now, there's sort of two bits to this left which I want to talk about. One of them is how to use the medicine wheel, and then one of them is working with the non-cardinal directions of the medicine wheel. I'm going to leave the non-cardinal bits till a little bit later, because that'll be a longer podcast. And I'll be quite frank with you, I'm still not 100% well, so I don't really feel like exerting huge amounts of energy. So I'm going to do an easier one for me, which is the one talking about what you do with these darn teachings. So, four directions. I'm hoping that everybody that's listening to this has listened to the last two podcasts and they know what I'm on about when I talk about the four directions. I'm going to say a bit about how I use them. Now, these aren't the right way, they're just my way, and you all have to find your way. For me, the four directions, well, if you like, the six directions of above and below, as well as north, south, east and west, they form a sort of model for the world. They form an intellectual understanding of the world with its component parts of earth, air, fire and water and mind, body, spirit and emotions. And for me, they're a kind of map of understanding of the way the world ticks. And you can work with them on that level perfectly well, but there's an other way of doing it. And that is quite tangibly using them as directions in ceremony and things like that. So let's talk a bit about that. When I do a pipe ceremony, the way that I've been taught to do pipes is pretty traditional, and it's to call in the spirits of the directions. Now, a lot of cosmologies have sort of angel-type beings or archangel-type beings standing in each of the directions. These are the embodiments, if you like, of the spirits of the directions. So I call in with tobacco when I'm doing a pipe ceremony, and I invite the powers of the four winds, the four directions, to come in and help us in the ceremony, to help us make good prayers and to do the ceremony in a good way. So I'm deliberately calling upon those four directions, and then I will offer smoke to those directions. I will blow smoke towards the directions, and I will offer the pipe to them to smoke by circling the pipe stem around in a clockwise circle. That's kind of a bit hard to imagine, but if you imagine that I'm holding the bowl of the pipe and then I sort of circle the smoking end around in a circle facing all of the directions, that's how you do that. So that's one way. I would make offerings to the directions. At the end of a pipe, I will take the spare tobacco and the ashes, and I will scatter those. And I will generally do a pinch of the powder, the ashes and whatever. I will scatter to each of the four directions, and also the above and the below. So that's another way of acknowledging it. There's a Mongolian, Siberian, Tibetan, probably just about actually everywhere, I know it from these traditions, but it's probably just about everywhere, of spraying water or liquid or wine or beer or whatever to the directions too. And it's not something that I do every time, but if I'm opening a bottle of wine, I will quite often use my finger and flick the first sort of sip of the wine, if you like, to the directions. I will just dip my finger in the wine, and I will flick up, and then I will flick down, and then I will flick to each of the directions. And that's just offering them a little of the drink. In Mongolian shamanism and Siberian shamanism too, in certain parts, vodka is used. I must admit that it's a tradition that I've warmed to over the last few years, and I do now quite often, if I'm doing a healing ceremony or something like that, I will actually pour a tiny amount of vodka onto a small bowl on my altar, and I will flick the vodka up to the ceiling and down to the ground and to each of the four corners of the room as an offering to the spirits. So this is a way of sort of honouring the four directions. It's not really using them as a way of sort of working with teachings as such, but it is just acknowledging that they exist and using them in that way. Or working with them in that way, perhaps, is a better way of putting it. Now, there are other things that you can do that are a little bit more focused. If I was to have a question about my life, there's various ways that I would tackle that question, but one of the ways could be what I know as a flowering tree ceremony. Now, there are many ways of doing a flowering tree ceremony. This is not the definitive way. This is just a way. And what I suggest you do is think about it and adapt it for your own use. A flowering tree ceremony involves, ideally, a tree. It doesn't have to, but it is nice if you've got a tree. You go to the south of the tree. You approach the tree in a sacred way. You make an offering to the tree and you ask it to help you. An offering would be a little bit of tobacco, a little bit of chocolate, maybe a little glass of wine, a little bit of milk, a hair of your head. Anything that's just a small offering, a small giveaway, and you talk to the tree and you ask it to help you. And then you sit in the south of the tree, or the south, you sit towards the face. Told you I'm not well. You sit with your back to the tree facing south, and you ask a question. And the question may be something like, how have I come to be in this place? What has my past been that's led me to this particular point of my life? And then you sit there and you let the universe talk to you. You see what happens. You see what thoughts and feelings come up for you. You watch the world around you. You watch animals that might come. You watch the way the wind moves. You try, without using your head too much, to get an answer. You just note. You don't try and work it out. You just note. So that's sitting in the south. Where have I come from to bring me to this place? Now, remember from our medicine wheel teachings of the last couple of podcasts, the south is the place of the past. So you can understand why it's about where you have come from. And then I would move clockwise around the tree to the north. And I would ask something like, where am I going if I continue on this particular path? And you do the same thing. You sit with it quietly. You let the universe show you things, bring things up inside you, bring things up in outside in the world around you, and just see and just hold that lightly. And when you feel that you've kind of got all the information, you walk all the way around the tree again clockwise, keep going clockwise, and you then move to the west. And you ask about your present situation, because the west is the place of the present time. And you ask about how it is for me now. Or you ask about how do I feel about that in a sort of body sense. Just questions around about how it is for you now. And then after you've got the answers for that, you move around to the east, which is the place of action, which is the place of doing things. Again, moving around clockwise, you always travel clockwise. And you would ask questions about what do I need to change? Or how do I change this? If you don't like the path that you're on, what do you do about it? This is a very crude way. I think it's important that you actually find your own questions about it. If you want to do something even simpler after you've done all of that process, you could sit to the south of the tree and ask how you feel emotionally about a specific item of your life that you're puzzling over. And then you could move round to the west and you could ask how you feel about it physically. What's the body sense of it, so that you start to work with it in that way? And then you could work round to the north and you could ask what you think about it. And then you could go round to the east and you could ask what it is that you have to do about it. There's lots and lots of ways of working at it. Be creative. These are just sort of very crude examples. You can be as creative as you want to be with it and work with it in that way. Now, you don't have to have a tree, of course. If you have got a tree, then at the end of the ceremony, you thank it and you maybe make another offering and you leave it and go away and get on with the rest of your life. But the house that I lived in before, I had a small sort of ceremonial stone, kind of like a cauldron-y type thing with flowers in the middle of a stone circular patio area. It was kind of not really set up as a medicine wheel, but it worked as one perfectly well. And I've sort of sat people around that in different directions and just given them sets of questions to ask themselves. And they just do that process for as long as it takes, and then they get the answers themselves. They get the answers because they listen to their own internal space, and they also get the answers because they're listening and looking and hearing and experiencing the world outside of themselves. The world outside of themselves in this tradition is always trying to teach you. So you pay attention to the world. What are the ants saying to you? What are the clouds saying to you? What is that breeze saying to you? What is the sunshine saying to you? If you're in Wales, what is the rain saying to you? All of these things. It's just a way of working. It's just a way of working that actually sort of helps you get outside of your head. It's very easy for us to have our thoughts and stuff going on inside our head and we rattle around with it. So that's a very, very crude and basic introduction to the flowering tree ceremony. Try it yourselves. You can't do this intellectually. Be with some questions, work out some questions for yourself, and go and do a flowering tree ceremony. Just go and do it. It's a good thing to do. That's one way that I would work with the wheel. I tend to do things quite ceremonially in terms of craft work. I mean, I suppose I'm fairly known for the fact that I'm well into ceremonial objects and things. You know, that's my particular bent. I just really, really enjoy doing that. So I would also work with the elements and the four directions in that way. If I was making a bundle for myself, I may well put items into that bundle that actually represented the four directions. I would put in perhaps four coloured beads. The very simplest thing that I would do would be four coloured beads: red, black, white, yellow, south, west, north, east. So those are just a conscious way of bringing in those four directions into the bundle to empower it. By bundle, of course, I mean a little medicine bag or some other sorts of healing sort of amulet type thing. I may put in, if you remember the very first podcast that I did on this subject a couple of podcasts ago, I built an imaginary altar in the middle of the room by putting a fir cone, a stone, a magpie wing, and a little Buddha in each of the directions around a candle in the center, building the four directions in that way. And there's no reason why you can't make a four directions altar for yourself. And again, then if you have, you could sit around that and move around it and ask questions. Just be in the south and be with the feelings of about a situation. Be in the north and be in the head part of yourself about that situation, your thoughts. Be in the west and see how it feels in your body. And then dream it. Sit in the west and dream about what you need to change. And then move over to the east and actually conceptualize and visualize and create that energetic space for yourself to change the situation that you're in, that you're wishing to change. This is all about growing yourself as a person. It's all about me growing myself as a person, becoming empowered. And if you can use the medicine wheel for empowerment in that way, that's what it's for. It's all about empowerment. And remember those two forms of power that I talked about in an earlier podcast, Kraft and Macht. This is all about power over yourself, creative power, Kraft. It's not about might, Macht, over other people. It's all about you gaining your balance and you're gaining an energetic sort of ability for you to be a stronger, healthier, bigger person. Okay, so how else would you use the medicine wheel? Well, I've talked about ceremonial ways. You could face each of the directions and invite those spirits in when you're doing a ceremony. And at the end of the ceremony, you thank them and let them go gently. Remember, you don't control them. You're inviting them. And it's always good. I've probably said this in the past too, but it's always good to remember that if you're inviting in any spirit, you always put the little line at the end of it, those that love me. Not everything out there loves you. So I would always invite, you know, especially if it's a spirit like an ancestor. You know, you're inviting ancestors into a ceremony or some sort of space that you're creating. It's always those that love me or those that love us if there's a group of you doing it. But with the directions, you're a bit safer. But it's always good to actually just remember that and have that little caveat at the end of it. So you would perhaps face each of the directions and ask them to come in and help you when you do a ceremony. And remember, the directions that I teach and work with have the four elements associated with them. But the four elements are not necessarily associated with those directions in other systems. That this is just the particular wheel that I use that has, for instance, water in the south. Other wheels will have water in the west or, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's not the territory. It's only a map. All of these systems are not the territory. They're just a way of explaining the territory. When you get to know the territory, you can throw the map away. The map is just there to help you find your way into the territory. Other ways. You can build a medicine wheel. You can build a medicine wheel with rocks. And I'll talk about that more when we've done the other directions, because I always like to build a medicine wheel with the non-cardinal directions in as well. South, east, south, west, north, west, northeast, all of those. And there's a set of teachings that I do called the 20 count, which you can very, very well adapt to make a 20 stone medicine wheel, which you can put out on the land if you've got one in the garden. Okay, other things that you can do with the directions, working with the colours. If you've got a tree, tie ribbons into them. This is the idea of the prayer flags. Tibetan prayer flags are four direction flags. Well, they're five directions because they have the centre as well. If you look at Tibetan prayer flags, they have five colours. Those are the four directions and the centre. And many traditions will tie little rags into trees. And if you're going to do that in a sort of Native American tradition, then you would use colours of the four directions and you would just tie little strips of those in the trees. Just a way of honouring the directions and letting the winds blow through. And you can make prayers with those as you tie them up there. Be respectful of the tree. You don't want to hurt it. You know, you're not trying to garrot the branches and make them drop off because the circulation's not getting through. Just loosely tie them on and let the elements dissolve them. Try and use natural materials. You don't want to tie bits of coloured plastic in your trees. Nice bit of cotton cloth or something like that. Be creative. All of this is about you being creative and feeling that you have got the authority for you to do what you need to do in your own way. If it's right for you at this moment, do it. Your views and the ways that you work with medicine will change over the years because you will develop as a person and you will be taught more. You'll learn more from other people and you'll learn more from the spirits and you'll kind of expose more of yourself inside. It's like you're a sort of like a mine of wisdom yourself. And the more you dig into yourself and the more you actually explore, the more wisdoms will come up for you inside, in, you know, almost like a kind of organic way. They will come to the surface. And so you do something in a ceremony and it feels appropriate now, but in 5 years' time you may think, God, did I really do that? Crass. It's fine. We all do it. I mean, I do stuff now that I would, you know, I think about what I used to do 20 years ago and cringe. That's life. You know, we all do that. But, so work with the medicine wheel in that own creative way, in your own wonderful way, because it is. And there's no right way of doing it. Even in a tribal tradition, if you like, there's the way it's done and then there's the way that people do it. And they're often different. I've rabbited enough. This is a short podcast. I'll finish with a bit of music. One of the things that Jan and I have been doing over the last little while is organising our funerals. We're mortals. We're going to die. That's the way it is. So we've been kind of thinking about that. And I very much would like a sky burial. That's not very easy in Britain. Well, it's not very easy anywhere, really. Sky burial is the Tibetan tradition of I'd like to be cut up and fed to vultures. Or if it was round here, it would be buzzards, which are close relatives of the American red-tailed hawk for you across the other side of the pond. They're not buzzards as in vultures. They're big hawks. They're the closest that we have here to eagles, really, in Wales. They're pretty big. I'd be fed to the buzzards or the red kites and the magpies around here. We don't have vultures, but that would be pretty good. And because I'm also do the Tibetan stuff, if anybody wants my leg bones and bits and pieces that they can use for ceremonial objects, that would be cool too. It'd be great. I think probably that's not going to happen. It's not going to be very easy for that to happen. So I haven't quite decided whether I want to be sort of organically buried in a nice woodland somewhere or cremated. I have to think about that. But the one thing that I have decided upon is total ego stuff. This is the piece of music that I would like played at my funeral. And so I'm going to share that with you because it's great. I think this is a wonderful piece of music. If I could have played on any piece of music, I think it would probably be this. I would love to play on this. This is it's a piece of medieval music by the group Symphony, who no longer really together, but it's Stevie Wishart playing a hurdy-gurdy, a medieval hurdy-gurdy, a symphony, and it's Jim Denley playing frame drums and Paula Chateauneuf playing a medieval lute. It's actually an Arabic oud, but she's fretted it and strung it so that it's more like a medieval lute. And it's a piece of instrumental music from a 13th century troubadour from the south of France called Cadenet. And it was written, I guess, somewhere around about 1250. And it's an instrumental version of a song. Anyway, I think it's a wonderful piece of music. And this isn't me being morbid. And there's nothing wrong with being morbid anyway. But I'm not being morbid because this is gorgeous. And this makes me feel so alive, this piece of music. So I thought I'd like to share it with you all. Health and other things, all being equal. And yes, I will get another podcast together pretty quick, hopefully, and we'll do the next bit of the Medicine Wheel teachings. Love to hear from people. My email address is nick@sacredhoop.org. The podcast website and my shamanic gallery for antiques and ritual objects is 3worlds.co.uk, number 3worlds.co.uk. Sacred Hoop magazine, come and be a subscriber to the magazine. You know you want to. It's a wonderful, wonderful magazine. www.sacredhoop.org. And my craftwork website and all that sort of stuff, nicholaswood.net. Thanks for listening to this one. I hope you've enjoyed it. And I hope in my slightly flu-y state, it's made some sort of sense. And hey, I didn't cough all the way through. Wow, I must be getting better. Enjoy this lovely piece of music. And well, I hope you think it's nice. Yeah, I'm sure you will. It's good. It's good. Yeah, go for it. Okay, bye.